everybody. My name's Owen.
And my name's Caroline.
And welcome back to another episode of the JR Wedding Podcast. Today we've got a lovely florist on in Dean. How are you doing, buddy? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. You guys?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good.
Good.
How's your season been?
Busy. Busy. And it's never ending.
That's
and
good.
Now we're talking about Christmas. Yay!
I love Christmas. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Dean's like, no, yeah, no bloody chance.
Halloween and bonfire actually long gone. Right,
yeah,
on January.
We haven't got our Christmas decorations up yet, as yet.
No, I did see my first tree.
I probably will have, actually.
Yeah, I did see my first tree today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, in someone's house. I was like, oh.
Is it a decorations?
I know, but you know what? As a florist, like, Christmas is just like, yeah, whatever's left, it's going to get thrown at the door or something like that and just make a little arrangement to... Yeah, don't really get too festive into the spirits of things. And the poor dog gets covered in glitter, so...
Boo, bar humbug.
I know, I am a bit of a bar humbug, to be fair. It's terrible.
I can't wait for Christmas.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But that's another podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Even I'm intrigued now, like,
So your season's been pretty busy?
Yeah, it's been crazy this year. It's the busiest year the business has ever had.
That's brilliant.
Which is just, it's fantastic. It's probably the most holidays I've ever had in a year as well.
We were talking off camera, and he said, I've had six holidays this year.
Six holidays this year.
And I was like, you can laugh off.
I know, but I'm just thinking, yeah, like, why not do it? But from the business point of view, it's just been one of those years that's just kind of snowballed. And I think, like you guys, you'll know it. Like, you take on the bookings,
yeah.
And then the bookings come, and you think, oh, God, how am I going to do this?
You do. You don't want to let people down as well.
No.
So when people go, oh, my God, I love you. Can I book you? And you're like, well, that's pushing it to like three or four that weekend.
Yeah.
You're like,
even this coming weekend, I've got like three weddings on, and you just think, what am I going to. But you do it, and you just.
You sleep with your dad.
Exactly.
It pays for the holidays.
It does. Pays for the holidays.
Pays for the wedding.
Pays my own wedding,
yeah.
Which, yeah, we won't talk to that anymore.
No.
Whole new podcast, like.
You're going to Switzerland next month.
Okay, so yeah, months today, we'll be in Switzerland.
It's going to be cold though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be.
I don't like cold.
Oh, no, I love, we've been to Iceland. So yeah. That was minus 10.
That was just...
We're so busy in the summer that it's just the case when we, for me,
we really do.
You do have, like, that was one thing I learned pretty fast, like having the business, like at the beginning of the year, I go, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Or I can't do that. And that's why I just block them out completely and just enjoy.
Well, I went to Crete at the end of September. That was really hot.
Yeah.
It was like 30 degrees. And I was like, it's just heaven. I was melting. It was too hot for me.
It's just heaven.
I don't do heat.
One where you go away and just sat by the pool the whole time.
That just sounds like, yeah, that's my idea of heaven.
That's heaven.
Like an all-inclusive bar or a swim-up bar. That's even better.
Oh, we did have a swim-up bar, all-inclusive, so.
Oh, yeah.
You're not supposed to say that to your mother.
It just sounds like
half a lager, that's it. That's all you had.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so for anyone who doesn't know, Dean has been, you've been around quite a while.
Yeah, you could say. I've had the business about 10 years now. So not as long as what people would think.
Right.
Like I decided at the age of 30 that, like, I needed a new career. And, yeah, I went back to college, trained to be a florist, and then just snowballed.
What were you doing before you became a florist?
So I owned a bar, and then I owned a balloon company. And I was, yeah, so it's, honestly, academically, like, anyone that knows me will laugh at this because I'm not an academic person whatsoever. I never have been. The concentration of a gnat. But anything creative, I absolutely loved.
They say that, though.
And then it was just finding what avenue I wanted to go down. So I went through loads of different jobs and bar work and all the things that most people do.
Yeah.
And, like, even now I've got nieces and nephews, it's like, you don't have to have something that's going to be planned.
Yeah.
Just see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then it took a while. And then, oh, yeah, I thanked floristry and... kind of just everything snowballed. I went to college, cocky me, went to college, and then, like, in the September, in the October, I did my first competition, won it, and then I kind of just snowballed into everything else then. And then from a business point of view, it's took a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone that can look at anyone's business and think, oh God, that it looks so easy. It took a lot of money, a lot of time to build it to where it is.
Yeah.
And you can be like a victim of your own success in some respects because the more you take on, the busier you get. And it just kind of, but then I wouldn't change it for the world.
No.
Give me 2 days off. Yeah. If I'm not on holiday, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like, okay.
James is like that.
Yeah. I'm a bit like, James, what am I doing next? Or like, I'm planning weddings that are in December in my mind. And it's just, it can be a bit of a challenge sometimes, to say the least.
Yeah.
But it's what you do. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes into floristry thinking they're going to be a multimillionaire.
You're not going
to. You're not going
to. It's the same as photography, to be honest.
You can have a good lifestyle from it, but you will be busy for that lifestyle. But I wouldn't have that any other way.
Unless you're like the elite. Yeah. You know, then like you
and
say.
Even some of the bigger florists that I know, and the jobs and the scales and the doing it abroad and all that, I think, it looks incredible. Would I want to do it? Definitely not. But then you have to think about like what's behind that. It's
what's
the team
involved.
Of 20 people that you have to pay and the thousands of stems. And it's just, I just stick to my, I wouldn't say run of the mill weddings because that's really, I shouldn't say that because actually I do a lot of big weddings.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm also one, I know how much things cost.
Yes.
So I think just, I like that mid range.
Yeah.
Make it look pretty, love it. And I get on, one of the things I can probably say is that I get on well with a lot of my couples.
Yes.
Like, they're all on my Instagrams, they're on my private Instagram page. And then it's the babies that come along and I'm kind of like invested now. And like, I think if you block me or delete me, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Because
I like to follow the journey.
Yeah.
But that, I think you like reading reviews, everyone says I'm quite accessible and I can talk.
I think, like we all say on our podcast, you always buy from people.
Yeah.
As well. So,
I am my product.
Yeah, this is it. It's the same as us. But if you love us, fantastic. If you don't, that's fine. We're not the photographers for you. Same as you're not the florist for them.
Yeah.
I think you just, when you've got a person, your supplier that invest in them as well as much as they invest in you. So you want to make it absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
You want to give the best advice and go, actually, have you thought about this or have you thought about that?
Yeah.
Save a little bit of money or actually that may be working a little bit better in your colour theme or whatever. Yeah. I think that's...
I'm a nightmare. I probably would earn more money if I didn't tell, you don't need that. Don't add that on there. Like, I'd probably make a lot more money, but I go into it and think, well, actually, I want them to have everything.
Yeah.
But I also think, well, that doesn't need to be. Like, I've come across florists and know some of the things that they charge and think, how on earth are you getting away with charging that? Bearing in mind, every florist in the UK is probably buying the same flowers from the same growers, from their same wholesalers. But then, do you know what? If you can do it, why not?
Yeah.
It's... each to their own, but I like to have a good night's sleep and think that I haven't absolutely robbed someone.
I'm blind.
But I think, you've got the business point of view, then you've got the personal point of view.
Yeah.
Business, you can just milk, try and get as much. It's kind of like you say, some people do, but then so others, like for yourself, you want them to have the best, but still.
And you can also, like, it's building relationships, isn't it? It's like, I know, like, one of my brides, for instance, that I did her wedding flowers, then I did bouquets for her, I did her nan's flowers, then I did the baby shower. And it's one of those things that it's nice to just, I suppose, be part of those things in people's lives that you can sort of follow through and do different things. And like one of my couples that I did a couple of years ago, I then done his dad's wedding. And it's that recommendation that I think you can build a business. Like, if someone gives you £1 million tomorrow and you can throw £1 million advertising, all of these Google ads and all of this sort of stuff, you can do all of that, but it's the person, people are invested in me.
That's it.
More than necessarily the product and the flowers, you kind of know what you're getting. And
and they trust you.
Yeah.
I think it's the big thing, it's trust. Like you were just saying, we've just had a whole day of Christmas shoots yesterday.
Yeah.
So we were out from 9 o'clock in the morning. I think we got back, I think we walked through the door at 4:15. So every hour, half an hour. But it was so nice because we were seeing past wedding couples come in. So like, we obviously do the wedding, we do their babies, and then those babies now growing, so now we're doing their Christmas shoots for them. And it's so, so lovely for us that, like you say, you get to go on their journey with them through their lives.
I've got
well.
Brides that are like, oh, Dean, when my daughter grows up, will you do wedding flowers? I was like, look, I probably won't be alive by then, but who knows? I was like, maybe, but is that, it's having that connection. And everyone says to me, I am my brand.
Yes.
My business name is Dean Charles Law Studio.
Yes.
It's like, but the only downside to that is there's times that like people want me.
Yeah.
And actually as the business grows, I have to delegate tasks to other people. And it's hard. But most couples, if I say to a bride, look, I can take your wedding on, but it might not be me physically on the day doing it. And most of them will be like, that's fine.
That's fine. You overseeing it anyway.
Because like the people that I have freelancing for me, I wouldn't have someone that can't do my style or look or do exactly the same.
Yeah.
So the freelancers that I do have, I'm quite happy to say do that, and then they would just do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
Fantastic. And I want to go on to your awards, actually.
Okay.
Just because I love my garden, and this man has actually been in Chelsea.
I know, yeah. So it's such a weird one because I've won awards, but they were... I say a long time ago, they weren't that long ago. I think going back to college, I just found the passion for it, did competitions. There's obviously the British Floristry Association that I did a lot of their competitions, and I like won first place, second place. And then I went on to do a competition called the UK World Skills.
Okay.
And it was a fantastic experience. I won gold. And to win gold there was quite an achievement.
Yeah.
Then I thought, why not do Chelsea? I've done Chelsea about, I think, 3-4 times. So I've won a bronze medal.
Wow.
And then I've won a silver gilt. I've never won a gold, but hey, like, there is time. I can still go back. Like, they invite everyone to go back and do Chelsea. I just think as the business has grown, it's just become a bit more.
Yeah.
Do I want to? And I again, no one really understands the cost of doing Chelsea.
I can imagine.
Thousands.
Yeah.
And you don't get paid for that. That's out of my money.
Yeah.
And then it's a week in London, and you just have to prioritise what I wanted. But yeah, I've worked for companies. I've done the flowers for the Queen at Ascot, in her private corridor.
Wow. I just sat here, my chin's on the table. Like, wow.
So, like, I've made thrones, crowns. And I think it was that aspect that I just loved, because it was doing something that you don't do as a florist day to day. You don't, like, no one would say to me, Dean, can I build a throne? Not that I would agree to doing that, because it was like a 4-month process of making said throne. And then before you know it, it's in the tip in the local
centre. There
you go. Centre.
To your wedding. Just get a crack. Just get a throne done.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to have those basic skills, and you can just adapt them to do different things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of brides, it's very traditional, hand tied. It's not, no one's going to want a huge bouquet made out of
they wires. They were a thing though,
they
a few years thing. Back, weren't they? They
yeah.
were
so
like really,
shower
really
bouquets
long.
Are coming
yeah.
back.
Like, oh, are
yeah, so I've done probably about 15 shower bouquets this year, and I really like them. And
so explain what a shower bouquet
so
is.
So a shower bouquet
especially
is
throwing,
just
you
like,
haven't got a clue.
Traditionally, you would do a shower bouquet and every single flower would be individually wired. It's a lot of work, but actually we're into 2024 now. No one does a full wired bouquet. And if they do, they've got way too much time on their hands. I'm just putting it out there. So you can buy an Oasis holder, which is, in a theory, a handle with an Oasis ball on top. And then you just sort of wire all the flowers into that.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit longer than a normal bouquet, but I always say to couples, well, definitely brides, it depends on the style of the dress you're wearing that works quite well. And actually, it makes your bouquet different to the bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So
it's bigger than a teardrop, isn't
bigger,
it?
Like, yeah, it's kind of bigger. And it goes down to what flowers they're using.
Yeah.
I did one at Hawkstone not so long ago, and she had a shower bouquet, but it wasn't a huge one. And all it was Lily of the Valley and white spray roses.
Wow.
And it was just incredible. It was so nice, so delicate. And I think sometimes people get scared to do things differently.
Yeah.
And Pinterest. Oh, whoever invented Pinterest. It's like the amount of couples I will get going. I've seen this on Pinterest. And I'm like, yeah, but it's been heavily filtered. There's like, that we can't physically get a rose in that colour.
Yeah.
And I had a bride, bless her, a couple of days ago, sent me the picture. She's like, I really want this. I was like, you do realise that every flower in that bouquet is made out of paper. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, we're never...
Is your origami then?
Yeah, I was like, we're never... I've made origami butterflies for a competition.
Oh,
I didn't know.
No, it's all... No ends of talent.
You have to go back through Instagram to sort of see these things that I've created. Because obviously it has been a while. I did the Interflora Florist of the Year a couple of years ago and got into the top five. And then that was filmed for the BBC. That was a really good experience. Competing, I think, is a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I remember someone quite close to me and he basically said, he says, it will only get you so far.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to take the business to the next level and earn good money and do that? Or do you want to do competitions? So I'd never say no to doing competitions again. I think it might just be something that I do later on as like just a bit of a creative outlet.
Yeah.
Because you do get to make things that you would never normally make day to day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
God, so much talent.
It's all the things you don't know, but then yeah, it's so I suppose I don't like I'm not one of these people that go, oh, I won such and such and all these years ago.
I'd shout about it.
I know. Then. And people do, and people are like shouting about what they won 20 years ago. I'm like, yeah, but
that's 20 years ago.
20 years ago
that's
now.
20 years ago, times have changed.
Things have changed. There's other people out there. And I also think it's nice. I see like people that are obviously a lot younger than me that are doing what I did. And I think sometimes it's nice to step back and actually let other people go in and do stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've had your time, you've done it, and it's, but then I think it can be addictive. It can be like you're chasing that one thing.
That goal.
And it is one of those things that I would probably love to, and I'd probably want to do it, and this is probably my OCD thing. I'd love to go back and win a silver medal and a gold medal. And that is purely to say, I've got the same.
I've done it.
I've got the bronze, the silver gilt, and the gold. That's all I probably want to do it for.
Yeah. Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future. And press day at Chelsea is incredible.
Is it?
Yeah. So you get to see all this. Like, we went 1 year and I took my other half and we were like kids in a sweet shop.
I can imagine.
We had pictures with Lorraine Kelly, David Walliams, like Joan Collins, Davina McCall. We were just like kids because...
Sod the flowers.
Yeah, you can only basically get into press day if you've got a garden there or you're exhibiting there.
Oh, okay.
And it's, yeah.
Not back gate.
Not back gate. No, and especially when the Queen turns up, obviously no longer, but
yeah, the
when
King
the royal left. Family turn up, it's on lockdown.
Yeah.
It's very, very strict. But it's fun. It's something I've done. It's something that I'll tell my grandkids that I'm never going to have. But hey, here we are.
Oh my God, it's brilliant. So going back to weddings then, okay. Your bread and butter.
Yes.
So, obviously, where are you based? And obviously, when people are listening to this, we go, actually, I quite like him. He's quite sound, actually. Where are you based? And, you know, we got...
Based in Stafford. I actually work from home.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know this. And a lot of people that do know this think, how the hell does he do what he does?
How the hell do you do
from home? It was just a decision that I made pretty early on. And I think having COVID, what we all talk about... I watched so many businesses that couldn't trade, that couldn't do that. And then I was at home still working.
Yeah.
And it proved the point. And even some of the florists I know now that have been going for years, they've got rid of their shops.
Yeah.
Because you didn't need it.
No.
So I'm based in Stafford, work from home. I do have units that I do keep a lot of storage in, because obviously if anyone's seen any of the weddings and I do a lot of artificial stuff, those things are huge.
Yeah.
My house is not that big. So yeah, it was just a decision that I made. And I think when you look at the town centres, especially where I am, and you look at the price of a unit, it's like thousands.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, well, if I'm going to spend $3,000 on a unit, I could put that $3,000 on a mortgage and just get a really big house with a really big garage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was my logic of thinking about it. And again, I think when you see a lot of big weddings and you see these arches and you see... All of that is done on site.
Right,
there's no florist that I really know that would build an arch wherever they're based and then stick it in the back of the van and hope for the best.
Yeah.
It's all done on site. So actually, you think the big things that we do, it's all done at the venue.
You just have like loads and loads of buckets and
loads of containers. Buckets of flowers, and yes, even I amaze myself really of what I achieve in the space that I do it.
Yeah. So you're obviously out pretty early then on a wedding day. Then if you've got, say, an 1 o'clock wedding, you've got like a flower arch or something.
I think, and again, we were talking about this. It's like it's venues. You build up really good relationships in certain venues. Like I can get away with some of the venues that I'm rocking up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Other suppliers probably are not allowed until 10.
Yes.
So it's building that rapport up, and it's timings. You know, after like 10 years of doing this, I know exactly how long something's going to take me.
Okay.
Like one of my freelancers, Nat, she's an incredible florist, and we can, I say, artistically throw an arch together pretty much within an hour.
Wow.
Because we know how each other work.
Yeah.
Like I could go in with all the foliage and then she's behind going with the roses. You build those.
It's your thing, so it's that teamwork as well. It is. So it's exactly like me, James and Owen.
Yeah.
You know, on a wedding day, I can look at James and go, he's looking at the sky, and I'll go, I know exactly what shot he's thinking. I know exactly what lighting we're going to need.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you want me to go and get the ELB? Yeah. Okay, off you go.
I think it's just knowing that. Knowing timings, knowing what works. And I think, like I said to a couple the other day, a bride the other day, I says, I don't think you realise when people say florists charge a lot of money when it's a wedding. I don't think people appreciate that. Like, so if I've got a wedding on a Saturday, for instance, on the Monday, I'm ordering those flowers from Holland.
Yes.
On the Tuesday, I'm getting all the wedding, like, all the water and all the buckets ready. Yeah. On the wedding, on the Wednesday, those flowers then get delivered. I have to strip all of those flowers, cut the stems, put them in water.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Thursday, I start making things. So say if I've got 6 domes, on the Thursday, I'll green them up with the foliage because I know that foliage is going to last. And then on the Friday, you'll add roses because, again, they're quite hardy. You know they're going to last. And then on the Friday, you'll then add really delicate things in that you know that are going to last till Saturday. And then it's the Saturday. And I'm saying this really quickly, but then you have to then go back the Sunday and collect everything.
Yeah.
So in effect, your wedding is lasting one day, but from a florist point of view, that is a full week's worth of work.
Yeah.
And so it is a bit frustrating when people say, oh, you charge too much. But
I think a lot of people, when people say, oh, that's it. If you're looking at cakes, flowers, whatever, as soon as you put the word wedding in at the beginning, at the front of it, oh my God, the price triples. Yeah. But it's not.
It's not.
And it's not that.
Don't get me wrong. I probably appreciate there is people out there that do that. It's something I've never done. I always get told that I probably don't charge enough.
Yeah.
But then I think it's such a difficult one. So I always try and say to people, like, look, you have to understand the process of what goes into your wedding. Into it. For you, it is 24 hours of your life.
Yeah.
But for a florist or a cake maker or anyone that's doing something for your day, it's a week's worth of work.
Yes.
And the time that goes into doing the quoting, the chatting to you. And I have brides that, like, WhatsApp me at, like, midnight on some nights. And I'm a bit like, I reply back going, I've just had wine. Please leave me alone. I'm not agreeing to anything or talking to you because I don't know what's going to come out.
Yeah.
So but I think it's that building up relationships again with couples. And it is a lot of money. Weddings are very expensive. And I'm going through the process myself. And I think, I'm not spending $3,000 on a dress. I'm getting the flowers pretty cheap.
You look nice in your dress, though.
I know, probably look nice in dress, but it's not something I'm going to spend. So I think, but then I still think, how have I got up to this figure?
Yeah.
But I do keep adding.
No, it's the same with us, though, isn't it? You know, yes, we're there on the day.
Yeah.
Which is, that's our first kind of main bit, but then we've got all the editing.
Yeah.
Well, even before, as well. For us, it's been forward. Oh, yeah, so you've got all your meetings and everything like that. And then we do pre-shoot. You're a meeting beforehand, just to go over times of the day and who's who and what's what. Then obviously shooting a day. And for us, a typical wedding day is about 12, 13 hours. Yeah. And then we've got all the editing. Then you've got album designing. Then obviously it's things like with storage for us and making sure we've got him backed up 3 different places and blah, blah, blah.
Imagine losing wedding pictures. That would.
So I'm knocking on wood there. No. The dogs.
And that's what sets the dogs off.
We've just started something. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
For me, if a flower dies, I just think, well, I just put another one in.
Yeah.
Yeah, lose the photo, you ain't getting back.
Yeah, we're not, this is it.
We need to redo this.
Yeah.
But this is why you invest in your suppliers.
Yeah.
So again, like obviously we're talking about obviously what to spend. So roughly, you know, what's an average spend looking? What do people want nowadays? Do they want? I know flower arches and moon arches, yeah, and everything like that.
It's one of those. So originally, I was adamant for years that I only liked doing fresh flowers.
Yeah,
and then I started to see a trend that I was like, people would be coming to me for just like a bouquet or a bridesmaid and a buttonhole because they've got a venue dresser.
Yeah.
So that's when I thought, hold on a minute, I'm losing out here. And I think, so then I spent close to £10,000 on building an artificial package.
Yeah.
So the artificial domes, the arches, all of these things, and I keep adding more to it. And that was to literally offer a service that you can have the domes. And I always say to everyone, come and see them, because no one really quite knows the scale and the size of them.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing of being a florist is, unlike venue dressers, they have to then go and buy them from a supplier that then gets shipped in, and that's what they are. I made all of my stuff from scratch.
Wow.
So no one can compete with me in terms of I've made this.
Yeah.
So that is another service that I thought, I'll do that, I can offer it. So people can get the wow factor, but without the wow, oh my God, that is really expensive. Usually it can be anything like £15,000 to £2,000. I've had weddings where they've spent £7,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of couples, if you're not a flowery person, I will have a lot of couples that say to me, Dean, like, I have not got a clue. I like a rose.
I know what a rose is
and a hydrangea. And then they'll go on to Pinterest and then they'll see the most elaborate things in the world. And like, does this fit within my budget? I'm like, no.
Or even time of year.
Or times of year.
Because is there certain flowers you can't get?
Seasonally, I think I say to everyone that if you're not gung-ho on a certain flower, just say to me, Dean, these are my colours. I'm happy for you to go seasonal. Because you'll get more for your money than just being adamant that I love peonies.
I was like,
but there's a window of opportunity with
peonies. Very small window for peonies.
Very small. And it was even smaller this year because it was like the rain and all the weather and all that sort of stuff that made the season start late but finished early.
Yeah.
So there was weddings that if I ever say I'm going to use a peony, it comes with a warning. It's always like, we might not be able to get it.
Yeah.
So if we can't, we then look at alternate. Because
they've got to be open, haven't they? So obviously when you get them, they're in bud, which are massive.
And then you've got to literally coax them out.
Yeah, condition them to make sure they come out. And at that point where...
steaming them open to try and get them open for a wedding and... Yeah, so like there's certain things, but actually I think most couples are very much, once you see that mass of flowers, no one's ever going to look into it and think, oh, it's missing this.
Yeah.
Or it's missing that, or it doesn't like, a touch wood, I've never had anyone that says that they weren't happy with their flowers. And I think sometimes it is a bit of a trust thing.
Yeah.
It is a bit like, if you're not a creative person, you can't see the visual of what that's going to look
like. Yeah.
It's like my other half, for instance. I know exactly what's going to happen with my wedding and I know exactly what the flowers are going to look like. He hasn't got a clue. It's just like, it's going to be a surprise for my
like
day.
It's like most grooms anyway.
I am finding a trend that like there's a few grooms now that are very much, they're more pushing it than the brides.
Yeah.
I just think anyone that listens to this, that anyone has fresh flowers, they are a fresh product. You can go, I can order 10,000 roses from the same grower and the same colour. They are not always going to look exactly the same. Like I did the analogy the other few weeks ago. If you go to Tesco's and buy a cucumber, not one of them looks the same.
No.
And it's a fresh product.
Yeah.
And that, like, she just looked at me as to say,
It is. But the thing is, this is where the trust comes in, and let the professionals do their job, because this is what they do day in, day out.
Yeah.
You know, let us, if it's raining and we sort of say, actually, I've got a good idea this way, this will work.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, actually, yeah, because the lighting, your settings, everything like that. Like, you will know, actually, I know your vision. I can then put that into your bouquets, into your arrangements.
Yeah.
But just trust me in what I am doing.
And most couples do. There's very rarely, like, there'll be like little things that, like, has anyone seen like the refluxed roses? It's like a rose where they bend the petals back. And
yes.
It's Well, I don't particularly like them. And I think it's, and I always say to every couple, yeah, visually it looks nice if it's on the cover of Vogue and it's look probably edited in. I was like, but to physically bend rose petals back, I've got stubby little fingers. Like, it never looks good in the end. So you just have to trust and have a bit of faith.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
when I've done all my quotes, one thing that everyone's always said to me, I kind of do like a mood board at the end of the quote.
Okay.
It takes me a bit of time, but I will list all the flowers and all the foliages with images of those flowers.
Oh, wow.
So you can kind of see it.
Yes.
And it's got the names so people can Google them.
Because I suppose that's the hardest thing, isn't it? Like with cake, like cakes, like you say, you, for Bride to actually visualise what that cake is going to look like. Yes, you can take samples so you know what it's going to taste like, but you're not going to know what it's going to look like. And the same with you.
Cake makers do drawings. I've had a few couples that go, oh, will you do a drawing? I was like, oh, if you'd have seen my sketchy artwork at school, like you do, it will not look nothing like the picture that I send you. So I don't. And there is that trust. And I think it's just encouraging people and having a look on Instagram, like websites. I struggle to update my website for the amount of weddings that we do.
Yeah.
So like once a year, twice a year, I'll probably then go and whack a load of new pictures on there. But Instagram is an instant thing. It's like on the day I can take a few shots. I did used to wait for photographers to send pictures back, but then that could obviously, I know what process goes for you guys to put them together for them, the bride to get them, etc. So I always try and put a snapshot of what I've done. Because, like, I found that, like, sometimes it's I don't always get the pictures back.
Yeah.
So I need to take my own pictures.
We do try really, really, really hard. But, again, it's the same as you when you've got wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding.
It just gets left
before you know it, like we say, we're approaching to Christmas. And I've gone, I haven't sent the supplies.
Our social media this year has been awful. I'm so sorry, guys.
Social media is, like, a full-time job. Like,
it is so full-time.
I'm just a bit like, what can I post to make it different? I was like proud of myself the other day that I did this post and then I managed to get the text to like do writing as it was coming up on the screen. I thought, wow, this is new. So like for the last week everything's had that.
Yeah.
Because I used to be so like look at our followers and all these.
Yeah.
Why has that person got 4,000 followers and they don't hardly post anything? And I look at some Instagram pages and I think, you have way too much time on your hands. Like,
yeah, if you
like,
can do that.
I'm down for a TikTok or a reel or anything like that. But then I look and think, everything just looks perfect. And I think, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
I can just about hold both hands.
Again, it's that Insta reality.
But it's, I think some people can get carried away and look on it. Oh, that's just, I'm all about real weddings of real people.
Yes.
And that may not look glossy. That may not look perfect. And I might not have the best camera in the world to take a picture. I can't take pictures of flowers that great.
They are like, really, really hard to photograph, actually.
I've got a new iPhone.
And to film.
I hope for the best.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even, like, my other half always moans at me because every time I take a picture, I don't wipe the lens so it doesn't look as great. And it's just, it is a challenge. I brought one of those things that you put your camera on. I've never used that. That was like gimbal. £70 just sitting in the van that I've never used. Because actually, you don't. Again, sometimes you just don't get the time.
No. You don't.
We can be running down an aisle, throwing petals down and lighting candles, and 4 minutes later, the bride's walking down. So sometimes you don't get to do it.
It's like Owen, he turns around and he says, behind the scenes. I haven't got time behind the scenes.
Yeah. That's where TikTok and Instagram have just taken everything to a new level.
Yeah. I look now and I just think, how have you done that? I can't quite apprehend that. How have you done this wedding and then managed to get all this content in?
For me as a photographer, I would rather, like now I'm starting to sort my social media. I'm going to start to now hopefully start posting a lot more and catching up on all this year.
Allegedly.
But I'm going, actually, I would rather get my couple's photos out a week earlier.
Yeah.
Then sit there for hours on Photoshop, on TikTok, and whatever, not Photoshop, TikTok, Instagram, to do these reels and to make these things look pretty that actually 43 people have seen. I would rather my clients have their photos.
People's reels that have been viewed like 10,000 times. I'm like, I can just better get 300.
Yeah.
And then I do quite like the only thing I would say on Instagram now, I do like the collaborating bit.
Yes.
Because I think it's massive, I think for me, it's like, that just, like, it'll instantly go on my feed.
Yeah.
And I think it just alleviates me thinking, God, I've got to come up with this fantastic...
Actually, it alleviates us when we clay up with you, that's the instant photo that you want.
And I think that's the thing. Some people, like, you'll get sent pictures through Instagram, it loses the quality, and then I don't want to post something that doesn't represent either the photographer's work or my work or the couple, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and I get it, like when people get married, it's just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily always forget that, like, send pictures, because that person's worked really hard on your wedding. And I know you're in your wedding bubble. But then I've had couples that have been on honeymoon and sent me pictures straight away.
Yeah.
And it's, so it swings in roundabouts. Yeah. And it's the same with, like, reviews and things that I always say to every couple, and I always probably push it more than I should, but a review for any business is the best thing ever, because it's real couples talking about your service.
Yeah.
And I think you can't beat... The best advertising I ever have is, like, word of mouth and recommendations.
This is us with us. And venue recommendations as well. Because, obviously...
Well, the amount of venue ones, obviously, we're always at open days, aren't we, together?
Yes. I think that speaks most, because when the venue puts their trust in you, then obviously the couples that are going to view that venue then go, actually, if that venue trusts them, then, you know, that's a starting point then. Yeah. And then obviously that, like I say, it's
And it's also, I always find as well, it's like when I do some weddings and you know, then you've got the same photographer, the same cake maker, et cetera, et cetera. You know, as companies, you work very well together.
Yes. Mm.
So it makes the process very smooth for a couple, I find. It's like... We all know how each other works. We know when things are going to get moved. I think being recommended by any venue is really good. And I think having venue, I work at quite a few, but there's a handful that I absolutely love working there, because it's just the staff, the way they look after you. I've been to some venues and they almost look at you like shit on a shoe.
Yeah.
And I've had that before.
And I think for me, we're all there for the same reason. Yes, it's for that one couple.
And that couple has played a lot of money.
Yeah. So I'm just a bit like, I prefer to work together with people than have people work against you.
Yeah, we had
And it's just,
we had one wedding. It was at Hencote this year, and it was beautiful scenery. Stay tuned on that podcast. that's a really good thing, actually.
Hencote incoming.
Plug.
Very soon.
But we worked with a florist there. She's absolutely amazing. They got married on the bank where it overlooks the skyline of Shrewsbury. And she had this carpet of flowers.
Nice.
Oh my God, it was beautiful. It was like an arch, but it was actually is that what you call it? An arch on the floor.
Yeah, so I call them aisle meadows.
That's arrangements
that are on the aisle, or and they can be done into
because there's no altar or anything like that. So they had this aisle
meadow.
There you go. and they were due to move that into the wedding breakfast room and put it in front of the top table.
Yeah.
And I said, is there any chance that you can leave that there? Because it will just look amazing for their photos, to have their family photos in front of. And she's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, brilliant. I said, I'll help you if you want. I'll help you move everything after.
Yeah.
But it just...
For a backdrop, it's
nice. But then... She's like, well, yeah, because they're making more use of those those flowers, because having more photos with them.
But again, that goes back to trust, because you'll know where you go to venue. Oh, I want flowers here and here. It's like you're never going to see them there.
No.
You're not going to have any photos there.
I always say, spend the money where you're going to spend the most amount of time.
Yes.
And like for Hawkstone, for instance, like if I do a big arch or a broken arch, we've got into the routine now of saying to the couples, when all your guests go out and have before the confetti shot, you come back in, we'll take pictures in front of the arch, because otherwise all the pictures that are going to be taken in the ceremony time, you've got all your guests there, you've got the registrars in your pictures, where if you're spending £3,000-£5,000 an arch, go and have pictures that is just you as a couple
in front
with
of
that backdrop. And it's worked really well. And the pictures that have come from those weddings just look incredible.
Yeah.
Because there's just no one else there. Yeah. And then obviously we can move it around afterwards, but... Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just...
So do you stay on site then? So obviously when people are, like we were saying about how much big work it is.
Yeah.
So like you say, if you're on site really early, making these beautiful arches and, you know, I... Isle Meadows. They're not. I have had a drink. That's,
you're going to be saying that. Like,
it's going to say it's like prop. It's an Isle Meadow now. Isle Meadow.
Oh, you stand posh.
Like I say, you have to stay on site to move that.
So I probably will, if I've got a wedding on a Saturday, for instance, I'll probably put five, wrap all the bouquets, buttonholes, etc. Get to the venue for about 10. That I know then gives me enough time to set all the ceremony up, all of that side of things. Then I will wait for the couple to get married.
Yeah.
And then turn everything from the ceremony and move that for the wedding breakfast. Because what you want to do when it comes to weddings, whatever you're going to spend on a ceremony, you want to know you can reuse that stuff again.
Yes.
And it sounds awful, and I should never say this. The actual wedding part is such a small part of a wedding.
Half an hour?
Yeah, it's the what you're there for, and it's the legal thing and all that jazz.
Ceremony, yeah.
But it's such a small part of your day. You want to make sure whatever you're spending is going to get used, whether it's centrepieces or whether the aisle meadows that you can use, they get moved around the venues, they can be put on fireplaces. You want to know that everything's being reused.
Yeah. Literally for 20 minutes.
Yeah, for 20 minutes.
For a civil ceremony.
It's the important part of the day, isn't it?
That's, yeah.
That's what they're all doing it for, allegedly. I just think I'm doing it from throwing the best party ever.
Yeah. I think
you might need to cut that bit out. You'll kill me for saying that.
Again, we don't have many people throw bouquets no more. That's a tradition.
I've had a couple this year, but
I warn all of my couples not to throw the bouquet because I don't actually think people appreciate the sheer weight of them.
That's it. That is like, it.
If you want to throw a bouquet, we could do a smaller version of it to throw. But please don't throw it because it will take someone's head out if they don't catch it.
If anything, that's why we say go use a bridesmaid's one.
We also use a bridesmaid's one.
Yeah. And I think it's such an outdated thing.
It is an outdated
thing. I think things are moving in directions now that I almost think with weddings, and I've found this with my own planning, it's like I'm doing something because it's what you should do.
Should do.
Well, why should I?
Yeah.
So there's traditions and things like that. I just think we do them because that's what's handed down and that's what people think that they should do. But you don't need to.
There's something,
it's your day. We had to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
We had a celebrant on
the last episode,
and we were saying how people now, obviously you think you have to have a church and you've got to have a registrar. She's amazing. So she goes, actually, it works out probably cheaper to go and do a 2+2 down the registry office and then hire her. And then she can do something that's so fitting for that couple and make
more
it
personal.
More meaningful for that couple. But people think, oh, I should have this, I should have that.
It is a funny one because, like you say, like the amount of weddings I've done, you see it, then the couple are already married.
Yeah.
So then I think like to myself, but why are you then doing the ceremony bit? Like, and it's just because it's from a picture point of view. And I get it because one of my brides said to me, she's like, if I did the ceremony, it's just going to make it a long day. She went, well, I've got married, I've done it. Now it's just about having the day and
us
and the party, in effect. So it's a weird one, but I think traditions is like, at the end of the day, I'm a gay guy, so there's nothing traditional about me getting married. Is there really? Like, someone said to me, getting married in a church, I was like, no, like, why are we going to do that? Like, it's just so you just have to do things your way. Actually, it's so hard because you'll know it's that. There's weddings morning, noon and night, Monday to Sunday. It's trying to find something to do, something different that hasn't been done.
And also,
everything has been done.
Everything has been done. But also, I've just lost my train of thought, though. It is making it personal to you. And like I say, don't go through trends or don't go through that. And same with photography, you know. There's so many new trends now. Some of them I don't get.
No.
I honestly don't get. Why have a blurred picture of a bride and groom? Black and white.
Yeah.
And I'm like, to me, that's fine now. Don't go in 10 years' time. You'd be like,
why did we do that?
Mommy, why can't we see you? Well, no. It was just a photo that was...
Yeah, it was on trend.
It was on trend then. Which is fine.
In a magazine, in an album, it might fit in with everything else, but on its own, it wouldn't stand out. It would stand out because it's fucking blurred. But, you know, it's... It's one of those.
People get caught up in trends.
Yeah.
It's the same with flowers. Like, if someone ever requests a jam jar with jip, I'm probably going to throw it at them because, like, it's a trend that I don't need to be involved in. And don't get me wrong, I have done them because, like, ultimately we are there to do what the couple wants.
Yeah.
But it is hard to do things that have not been done in some respects or another.
Yeah.
Like for my wedding, and I'm not going to give too much away because there's too many couples that are just waiting to find out what I'm doing for mine. And because I've worked at the venue quite a lot, it's trying to do something that's never been done there before.
Yeah.
And I am pushing every boundary to get what I want. And I've talked about hanging mirror balls up in the garden and all sorts to make it something different. So, but that'll all come out in.
So I've seen one thing now, people are increasing, like the buttonholes. And rather than having the buttonholes, having the pocket squares.
Well, they're a pain in the ass to make.
Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I don't like them.
See, for us as photographers,
it looks nice.
Well, no, for us as photographers, James is a stippler for the details.
Yeah.
So I will literally go round, me and James will go round and we will pin buttonholes on everyone to make sure they're absolutely perfect. I don't want to see the pin.
Yeah.
It doesn't go through the slit. It doesn't at all. Please stop doing that. And obviously, as we're taking photos, we're making sure they're straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've constantly got an eye on things like that. So the pocket squares for us, we're like, well, actually,
it's on trend at the moment. Yeah,
they're a pain for me because I've got to put the microphones in. That's why I put my recorders for the ceremony. So
like, don't get me wrong,
I can't put them in.
I have made them, and I think the biggest misconception of it is when you see them, they look incredible. But even with a rose buttonhole, you have to remember the minute you get nervous, you heat up.
Yeah,
those buttonholes heat up.
Mm.
And actually, when you see these pocket squares, they're all very dainty, small-headed flowers.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's going to be wilted before you even get out of the ceremony.
Oh, okay.
So it is.
So it's a nice little top tip.
It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. And like, they do look fancy. And I think sometimes, and again, this goes down to social media, you can see things on social media. They're not necessarily weddings. They're not there. Like, going to be wearing them all day.
They can be
photo shoots.
Perfect,
Going down to, like, COVID, everyone was like, oh, my God, that looks incredible. It's like, it's not a wedding.
Yeah.
It is a photo shoot.
You need to be realistic.
And some people don't necessarily hold their hands up and
say
this was a styled shoot or a photo shoot
is you have a specific look.
Yes.
As a photographer, we have got hours to make sure the lighting's perfect, the posing's perfect. We can repeat a pose 10 times, 15 times, whatever.
The amount to make of styled shoots I was asked to do and I was like, no.
No.
Like, I'd rather have put nothing on my social media than put something out. I think I've done one.
Yeah.
And
that says more about your work, where you're seeing it amazing in real weddings as opposed to a pose style shoot.
And don't get me wrong, like, and then you know that someone's done a styled shoot, but then I've seen venues that have insinuated that it was the best big wedding that we've done. No, it wasn't really.
So you lie. So the bullshit.
It is a load of bullshit. And actually, who can afford? Because again, it goes down to cost of flowers.
Yeah, this
who
is
can
it.
Afford to be throwing those like hundreds and like thousands of pounds worth of flowers just for a couple of shots? Yeah, the shots admittedly probably look really great, but it's still a waste.
Like, you're throwing all that money at it. That needs to be the image,
and
the staple of your company.
Wedding fairs and open days and stuff.
Websites.
Everything.
Yeah. But luckily we don't have that issue anymore because, like, hopefully we won't have COVID again. Well, even though I did say to everyone it was the best time of my life.
Like, we did our garden.
In the garden. The dog got walked every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like...
I baked from scratch.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I will say to Pete... Yeah, I bake.
You drank a lot.
Oh, I baked. I baked a lot. The one thing for me, I spent so less on my food shopping back then because you can only go once a week.
Yeah.
So you were going to get everything you need for that week and, of course, some things you couldn't get. And I was like, we didn't have takeaways and anything like that. I was thinking, God, I'm saving loads of money because I'm not wasting food. I'm not buying extra. Yeah. Because I couldn't buy extra.
You're losing weight. And then she starts baking. So it all goes
back on.
I'd like to say that I think I probably spent way too much money. And I would find every loophole to get myself to B&M probably once a day. Like, I would honestly just walk around the shop just to get out.
The thing is, that was the year when TikTok went mental, though, isn't it? TikTok went mental. Everyone's doing these little silly dances and stuff.
My other half's like, where are you going now? B&Q. Where are you going now? Lidl. Where are you going now? Wix. What are you doing to Wix? I was like, I don't know. I might find something there that I could buy that I might need for the garden.
Yeah.
that I'm currently sitting in like all day. So like, yeah, it swings and roundabouts. But
yeah, definitely.
But no, I think, yeah, no, that was great. So we'll kind of end usually as we do on top tips.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, he's given so many already. take some little gems in there.
Stick on the kettle.
But yeah, so kind of the basis of it, yeah, what is kind of your main top tip or tips?
Advice to give couples, because this whole podcast is for couples. It's not for chatting about business.
For industries and like, yeah. No. I think for me, I always say to every couple, have a budget. Spend the money where you're going to spend the most amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Make sure you can reuse whatever is being used for the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your florist.
Yes.
Go seasonal more than being so set on certain flowers. What else?
Can I give one?
Go on.
I love. You know, obviously your centrepieces, and if you have fresh flowers, centrepieces and things like that. And then they give Brighton parents bouquets.
Yes.
Why don't they just give the table centrepieces?
Well, so this is what I always say, like when someone says to me, if they're having fresh flowers and they say, and they've got centrepieces that are fresh, I'm like, don't bother, because you can give all these flowers away. Because there is nothing worse than going back to a wedding the following day and seeing all of the flowers and all of your hard work just being put on a compost heap.
Yes.
And I did a wedding not so long ago, and bless her, the next day I went there and there was the daughter and her mom that had literally just dismantled all the domes, and the daughter had made them into all these little bouquets and was just handing them out to all the guests.
Yes.
And I think that is... But again, sometimes it'll be more money orientated. Sometimes the more money you have and the more money you can spend, the less cared you are about the flowers. I've been back and like the bridal bouquet's still been on the floor. Or the couple have flown to wherever exotic location straight from the venue, and give it to someone, send it home, do something with them.
Yeah. But then, your florist,
on the flip side of it, I've seen someone with like one of our huge domes just being shoved in the back of a car because like the mum was like, it is coming home with me by hook or by crook. So definitely think about taking things home or allocating them to people and just saying like, look, have this the next day, take it. And I know sometimes some florists might not make things. I found this recently, this is going quite off piste. Like people that will make these, when they say they're very biodegradable friendly and they don't do Oasis and all these things, that's beautiful and that's lovely and it's a like the sentiment. But then you find that all these big arrangements have been made in chicken wire and this, that and the other.
Yeah.
You can't then physically take all that stuff the next day. Like I went to a venue not so long ago and the couple that were there from the day before was like, have you got any spare buckets? Because like we have to take all these flowers, but they don't have any buckets.
Yeah.
So like with a lot of my designs, they are done in Oasis. Yeah, they're not, they are getting better with the whole biodegradable thing, but I know all of my arrangements, whether it's on a small dish or on a big dome, you can physically pick all those and take them.
Yes.
I always say the next day when I'm going back to a venue, the only thing I want to collect is my vases.
Yeah.
Or the plinths, etc.
Yeah.
I don't want to take anything else out.
That's brilliant.
So that's, hopefully you've got a few tips in there.
I think
thank you very much for coming on.
No problem.
So anyone listening, obviously this will be on YouTube as well as we are recording. So you probably end up seeing Dennis and Henry wandering around again. We'll link Dean's website and contact info, socials, Instagram, Facebook, whatever in the description below. Please like, comment, whatever. So thank you for listening and we'll see you in the next one.
See you soon.
See you later.